Merrill.
Kodesh Tov.
Kodesh Tov.
You're the first to arrive.
Hello.
I said you're the first to arrive. Did you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
I said, yeah. Yeah.
We will wait until someone else comes.
Okay.
And I'll start if they don't come in the next minute.
Okay. I should probably mute when you do it. They're screaming. Or I'm going to call Tom. I should probably mute when you do it, just to protect your call. It's a little noisy.
Most people do mute.
Yeah.
Gabriella.
Kodesh Tov.
Kodesh Tov.
That's an interesting sound. Never heard that one before.
Yeah, right.
Kodesh Tov, we will begin. Normally, we begin with the Ana Pekoa, but on Rosh Kodesh, we change the order of things. So we will start with the Shem Yehud, followed by the verse on certainty, and then we will go into the Rosh Kodesh handout, which can be found on the Unique Astrological Times landing page. You'll find that page underneath the two pictures on the right of every Yeshem webpage, or if you're on a mobile device, at the bottom of the page. Once the Unique Astrological Times link has opened up, scroll down to the section titled Rosh Kodesh Tammuz, and the link is for the year 5780. L'shem Yehud Kudsha Berichu Ishkinte Bidkilu Erchimud Kilud Kilu Erchimu Le'achta L'shem Yudhe Bevavhe Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayhino Amadunai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kunene Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kunenehu. The verse on certainty is from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. It comes from Parasha Yitro. It's Pasuk 29. Rabbi Abba Amar, the Kamatar, Amenan, the Kucha, the Rihu, Koma, the Aved, the Ela, Witata, Kola, Yihu, Kishot, the Ovada, Dikshot, the Leidla, Mila, the Alma, the Vae, Barnash, the Dahya, Leia, Mine Yahulan Haga, Beya Kalana, the Hakuhu Ovada, Big Shot Inun, Wipola, it's the Reef, Be Alma. The handout. Oh, my computer is having fun, so. I'll be right with you.
Hello, this is Jamie.
Kodeshtod, Jamie, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Baruch Hashem, I'm well. I'm having some computer problems where I was prepared to go and the window closed on me, so I'm getting it open again.
Okay.
And we have the window opened for the month of Tammuz, Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. And I'm starting right under the links. Please note, the Tammuz and Av, the next 2 months, the month we're starting tonight and the month coming up, are essentially difficult months.
This is
yes, Jamie.
I'm having trouble getting to where I should be.
On the unique astrological signs link, scroll down to Rosh Chodesh Tammuz.
Okay.
And it's for the year 5070.
Okay.
The months of Tammuz and Av are essentially difficult months. Of course, not all the days of these 2 months. The last 12 days of Tammuz and the first 10 days of Av are the most difficult days of the Hebrew year. Here is a Kabbalistic explanation from the Sephardic Gaon, Rabbi Mansur. It comes from Parasha Shlach in his commentaries. Satan and the Summer Months is the title. We read the Parasha of Shlach Lecha this past Shabbat. And it is usually the parasha that starts the month of Tammuz, which is why he made this connection. The Torah in Parashat Shlach tells the distressing story of the spies who were sent to see Eretz Yisrael and then convinced the people that they would be unable to conquer the land. Curiously, the Torah tells us that the spies were sent to Eretz Yisrael during the time of Bikurei Anabim, when the grapes began to ripen. This occurs in the summertime. And Chazal indeed tells us that the spies left on the 29th day of Sivan, which was today. Actually, it was Sunday, and returned 40 days later on the 8th of Av. The question arises, why is this information significant? How does it add to our understanding of this tragic story? The Midrash Pliyah, a compendium of cryptic comments by our sages on the Chumash, explains that the timing of the scout's mission is the reason why it failed. The mission ended in tragedy because it took place during the period of Bikurei Anabim. The great Kabbalist Rav Shimshon of Astropoli, who authored a commentary to the Midrash Pliyah, explains that while the Satan always poses a threat to the Jewish people, its power increases during specific times of the year, including the 2 summer months, Tammuz and Av. Indeed, as we know, many calamities befell the Jewish nation during these months, such as the destruction of both Batei Mikdash, the temples. The Hebrew word anabim is spelled ayin nun et mem, and the letters preceding these four letters are samach, mem, aleph, and lamed. These letters spell the name by which the Satan is called, Samael. In truth, the word anabim is written also with the letter yud, but according to the Kabbalistic tradition, the word is written in the heavenly Torah without a yud. This subject requires a fuller discussion in a separate context. On this basis, Rav Shimson explains, we can understand the Midrash's remark. The phrase Bikurei Anabim may be read to mean that which precedes Anabim. The Midrash is telling us that this was a time when the Satan is given special power, and thus our evil inclination is particularly strong. Hence, the timing of this expedition is the cause of its failure, as the scouts were especially prone to succumbing to their Yetzer Hara, their evil inclination. And this is one of the reasons why the Kabbalists teach us that during the summer months, but especially during the three-week period that we will discuss later this class, during the three-week period, it is really important not to go to any natural body of water, like a river or a lake or the ocean, because these natural bodies of water are prone to accidents. And by staying away at the time when it's the hottest, we prevent those accidents from engulfing ourselves. This notion that the Satan has special power during the summer months is plainly visible even in our day. The months of Tammuz and Av generally fall during the months of July and August, which we instinctively associate with a loose atmosphere, and when we are all especially prone to relaxing our religious standards. This is also the time of year when modest dress becomes a particularly difficult challenge in light of the hot weather and generally laid-back atmosphere. Not coincidentally, our schools and yeshivot close down during these months, and students are left without their ordinary framework of Torah study and outside the Torah environment in which they spend their days throughout the rest of the year. All this proves the accuracy of Rav Shimson of Astropolis' depiction of the Satan's unique strength during Tammuz and Av. Moshe told the spies before he left, Vehita tzaktem, you shall be strong. We need to be especially strong and vigilant during this time of year to maintain our religious standards and not relax our commitment to halakha. Certainly, we are all entitled to a relaxing vacation, which often proves valuable and vitally important for our physical and emotional well-being. At the same time, however, especially because of the relaxed, laid-back environment of summer, we need to take extra special care, and as Moshe instructed, to be strong in maintaining proper Torah standards. Recognizing the special power given to the Satan during the summer months, let us redouble our efforts to avoid improper behavior and remain faithful to our values, even as we enjoy a well-deserved period of relaxation. Next, we're reading a commentary that I added this year from the Or Chadash website. During the month of Tammuz, we begin the period called the 3 weeks. The time period between the fast of the 17th of Tammuz and the fast of the Tisha B'Av, the 9th of Av. On the 17th of Tammuz, Moshe broke the first tablets upon seeing the golden calf, while the walls of Jerusalem during the time of the temple were breached, leading to its destruction 3 weeks later on Tisha B'Av. And I am adding, remember, in Kabbalah, we look at the spiritual cause and do not commemorate a historical physical event. These two instances of breaking mirror, an even earlier event in creation, the primordial breaking of the vessels. This is spoken about in Kabbalah. This archetypal event symbolizes the underlying imperfection of reality, along with our more optimistic mission to rectify reality by lifting up the fallen sparks. This ongoing existential tension is alluded to in the statement in the Zohar, "Weeping is wedged in my heart on this side, and joy is wedged in my heart on the other side." Another historic incident occurring in the months of Tammuz and Av is the story of the spies in the desert who went to spy out the land of Israel and detailed it in the Book of Numbers. Their trip, which included the entire month of Tammuz and ended tragically upon their return on Tisha B'Av, lasted 40 days. It was on that fateful day that 10 of the spies reported they would not be able to enter the land, thus causing the people to cry to return to Egypt. According to the Sefer Yetzirah, the sense of the month of Tammuz is sight, while the sense of the month of Av is hearing. Their faculty of sight was only able to see the land of Israel superficially. Their hearing was blemished by their listening to the evil report and accepting it at face value. It is clear that they were not seeing deep enough, and their hearing lacked true discernment. From this, we can learn that the rectification of the spies is to learn to see much deeper than just the surface, and to understand much more deeply the implications of what we hear. In relationships, this means to always look at the soul within a person, to empathize and see the bigger picture of each situation, to judge others favorably, and to learn to constantly stand in another's shoes, to hear what someone is really telling us between the lines, what their heart is crying out to us. We need to see, on one hand, how in every broken person and situation, there is the potential for true wholeness and rectification, while at the same time, beneath the superficial veneer of reality, there is a broken world all around us. A Hasidic rabbi taught, "There is no vessel as whole as a broken heart." We need to be just broken enough to feel and relate to the pain of others, but not so broken that it prevents us acting positively and forcefully to heal, to mend, to fix wherever we can. It is the essence of walking the tightrope of life, or as Rabbi Nachman said, "The whole world is a very narrow bridge. But the essential thing is not to be afraid." One place where sight and hearing come together is when saying Shema Yisrael. We want so much to see truth and God, we not only close our eyes, but we cover them as well. The closer something is to us, the more we have to close our eyes to see. Rabbi Shlomo Carlbach taught, that is why when we kiss our beloved, we intuitively close our eyes, as if to say, I don't want my physical eyes to blind me to the true vision of our inner love and unity. The same applies when we say the Shema. At that moment, we want to unify with Hashem, our ultimate beloved. The hearing of the Shema is not just hearing, but understanding on a deeper soul level that the full implication of the oneness of God is not just that God is one, but that all reality is essentially one. And I am adding, the above two paragraphs are just touching the beginning aspect of me being able to see and hear without preconceived expectations. Remember, we see and hear what we expect to see and hear. This is a blockage that separates us from the truth, which is a name, an attribute of Hashem. The great paradox of these monks and the deeper teaching they hold for us is that both fast days were meant for great joy and accomplishment. On the 17th of Tammuz, Moshe was meant to descend with the two tablets of law and begin the process of fixing the world. Rabbi Yitzhak Ginsburg teaches that 17 is the numerical value of the word Tov, good. The 17th of Tammuz was the 40th day after receiving the Torah at Sinai, and was intended to be the culmination of all goodness, the ultimate purpose of creation. The return of the spies after 40 days was to have been the beginning of the children of Israel preparing to enter the land of Israel, from where they would fulfill the mission to be a light unto the nations. The potential of both days was squandered, and now it is left for us to restore these months to their original purpose by making the rectifications needed. We are taught that the Mashiach is born on Tisha B'Av, and that redemption will come out of exile, light out of darkness, joy out of sorrow. We must take current events in our own personal trials and see the deeper messages we are being sent. By attuning our inner eye to the unity and oneness of Hashem, and our inner ear to his constant messages to each one of us, we will know how to contribute what we can to creating a better world, one day at a time. There is no more important or urgent a task. I am adding, the phrase one day at a time is not clear enough. We need to make a better world both one day at a time and also equally each and every day. The message is small steps, yet frequent steps. This is a third commentary that comes from a website, Kabbalah of the Heart, which is written by Miriam Ritter. What do I need to know about the month of Tammuz? Each year, I approach this month with a bit of trepidation. I recommend that you also be respectful of the unique energies and opportunities of Tammuz. Kabbalah says that the months of the year are divided between Esav and Jacob, Yaakov. The first 3 months, Nisan, Iyar, and Sivan, are given to Yaakov. The next 3 months, Tammuz, Av, and Elul, are given to Esav. After many spiritual battles, Jacob reclaimed part of Av and all of Elul, but Tammuz is still in the domain of Esav. So the energies of the month are characteristic of Esav. The energies on full display this month are hypocrisy, anger, arrogance, which is chutzpah, warlike behavior and lust for physical pleasures. These are the influences of the astrological signs on each and every one of us this month. If you're aware of these influences, you can control them. If you're unaware of them, life is a movie. As the gateway into the summer from a secular perspective, Tammuz is viewed frequently as a carefree time, a time to relax, to travel, and have fun. According to Kabbalistic wisdom, Tammuz is a time of unique challenges and tests, particularly for the Jewish people. The most important lesson for this month is to recognize that what takes place in life this month is not what it first appears to be. The Torah portion, usually read to introduce the month of Tammuz, relates the story of the spies sent to survey the land of Israel before the nation entered. Upon seeing the inhabitants of the land, the spies, with the exception of two of them, report that we were like grasshoppers in our eyes, so we were in the eyes of their eyes. They only saw their own fear projected. They did not see things as they really were. And most importantly, they forgot that the land had been promised to them by Hashem. Ultimately, their fears and desires were fulfilled. They did not enter the land. The healing opportunity of this month is seeing. The challenge this month is to see life as it is, and not as we want or fear it to be. The question this month is, am I seeing things as they are, or am I simply projecting my own needs and fears and desires onto a person or situation? When people project their own fears, angers, insecurities, and other unresolved, unconscious feelings onto others, they are disempowered. It is hard to go forward in life if we are blaming others for our own weaknesses. The change in perception has to begin within ourselves. We are not responsible for the projections of others, only for our own. No one has to be confined to an old narrative of low self-esteem and insecurity. We each have been divinely given the freedom to choose life, and all that is good in spite of what is taking place around us. We can always see our lives in a new and positive way that honors the highest expression of who we are in our spiritual potential. The divine permutation for the month of Tammuz is reversed. We expect one thing to happen, but something totally different occurs. So it is helpful to be particularly flexible this month. In Tammuz, we are tested to see through appearances. What we held as true, dear, and true may now be seen as false and unnecessary. It is not easy to discern what is true, particularly these days, when there may be distortion, misinformation, and even photoshopping to promote different narratives of reality. If necessary, internal and external structures begin to break down in Tammuz to allow the truth to be better seen. The 17th of Tammuz is commemorated with a fast to acknowledge the beginning of the destruction of the Holy Temple in Jerusalem. That's a physical event. The spiritual event, the purpose behind the fast, is to recognize our participation as our sages teach us, every generation that the temple is not rebuilt is a generation that destroys the temple. That is our purpose of the fast, to recognize our personal responsibility in why the temple has not yet been rebuilt. I'm continuing to read. The physical and spiritual heat of the month of Tammuz encourages us to often to make quick judgments about people and our own life situations that are based on external realities and not the truth or essence. If you are triggered emotionally and become reactive this month, this is a sign that you are not seeing the deeper truth of the situation. We frequently see things from our vantage point. We rarely see the whole picture. When triggered, always remember to take a few deep breaths to center yourself. Question your assumptions. Be discerning and mindful. It is important to make I statements rather than accusatory you statements. Tammuz is ultimately a wonderful month, but only if we know how to use its intense energies constructively. When we purify our seeing and are willing to see Hashem in this world and within each of us and each of the other person we see, we grow in Tammuz in ways that may not be possible at any other time period in the year. This is the challenge and the spiritual opportunity of this month. May we each be blessed to find the peace and love inside ourselves and in our relationship with Hashem, even when what is happening externally may not be so peaceful. May we radiate blessings of calm, love, peace to everyone we meet and contribute to bringing forth the peace and love that we and others are yearning for. Here is a story with a lesson that can change your life if you are only open to see it. There was much opposition to Hasidism in its formative years, and an opponent of Hasidism had heard many amazing claims about the Chernobyl Rebbe and wanted to meet this Rebbe himself to see if there was any validity to what his followers said about him. He understood that followers see their Rebbe as a wondrous being, an angel, an intermediary, but he assumed this was just wishful thinking on the part of simple people. He traveled to see the Rebbe and had the privilege of sitting at the table with the Rebbe for a meal. As he watched the Rebbe eat, he did not see anything extraordinary, with the food falling out of the Rebbe's mouth onto his beard. This gave the impression that the Rebbe did not even have the manners of a cultured person. He was ready to dismiss the Rebbe and all the claims he had heard about him. Yet he stopped himself. He excused himself from the table. He went to the corner and prayed to Hashem, "Master of the universe, please let my eyes be open to see the truth of what is. Please let me see the essence of the Rebbe and not the external realities." When he returned to the table, he now saw that the Rebbe was shining from one corner of the world to the other corner of the world. The Rebbe was indeed a great light. His eyes had been purified through prayer, so he could see the hidden truth. So let us remember during the course of this month, before becoming reactive or passing judgments on others or even ourselves, Take a few moments to breathe, to feel our own feelings. Open our hearts and pray for divine assistance and clarity to see ourselves and others as we really are. May we all be blessed with good eyes to see good, to see Hashem in everything that is taking place in our lives and in the world today. Love and blessings to all. As we all say, may we all say, may we all choose to say, Amen. I'm about to explain a major tikkun that is coming, that we are being asked to participate. But to understand this tikkun and whether we will choose to participate, each and every one of us will make this decision for themselves. We need to understand we live in a very chaotic time. Obviously, everyone knows that. All we have to say is pandemic or COVID or virus. We know it's a chaotic time. It's a time of judgment. We're all being told by many of the Kabbalists, many of the rabbis living in Israel, come to live in Israel. We are being told by many of the Kabbalists, Mashiach is here. It's time. The virus is only the beginning. The Armageddon War is happening or will happen shortly. All of these things are designed to create fear. And we have to stop and assess what it is we truly see. There is a group in Israel with one leader. And this leader has proclaimed a 40-day period from the first of Tammuz, from right now, until the 9th of Av. In that, he's calling this 40 days a commitment of his group and asking others all throughout the world to join him in achieving a spiritual tikkun that will sweeten any judgments that are yet to manifest or that are manifesting now. In these 40 days, he is saying this is a tremendous commitment. It's not something that you can say, oh, I'll do it today and I forgot tomorrow. This is something that you need to commit to if you are going to do so. Let me continue to read my commentary to help you understand the commitment and what's involved. Because unlike when the Torah was given and we said that we will do and then we will learn, here you are allowed to know what you are being asked to do. This year is unusual, as can readily be discerned. On Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, we enter a 45-day period that culminates in the holiday of Tu B'Av. And Tu B'Av begins another 45-day period that culminates on Rosh Hashanah. Essentially, this is a two-step process totaling 91 days. The students of Kabbalah know that 91 is a connection to the Hebrew word Amen, and its Kavanah of unifying the spiritual worlds with the physical world. Rabbi Alona Nava is calling for a 40-day tikkun or rectification to sweeten this period of judgment that the world is experiencing. It consists of the following spiritual actions. But before I read these spiritual actions, it's important to understand the sweetening of this period of judgment is not to make changes for 40 days and then go back to your old ways. It's making these changes in your actions, externally and internally, during these 40 to 45 days, and then continuing in for the next 45 days, which is the level of Teshuvah, and continuing it into all of next year and the years to come. So be aware, as I read these spiritual actions that Rabbi Anava's minion and groups will be doing, first of all, we don't live in the same time zone. We cannot join his minion. But we can, when we pray, when we do spiritual actions, we can make statements that join with his minion. Because there is a teaching from the Ari about how the minions all over the world that pray at different times, their prayers are accumulated together in the land of Israel and then are elevated through the point of Zion to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So by making a verbal statement that you want to join Rabbi Anava's minion, your prayers, whenever you do them, whether with a minion or without, and it's always better with a minion, your prayers will be attached and connected to the strength of these thousands of people all over the world. He will be praying more often each day for most of the people in his minion. There will be four times per day that he prays. That's a morning prayer, an afternoon prayer, an evening prayer, and the nighttime Shema. Plus, he will be saying blessings before and after meals. This at least one time a day, but it's preferably to pray many times per day, to bless many times and many things per day. He will be doing Tanit Diburs. These are fasts of words. Many times during these periods, and he will announce what days they are. But you can do a Tanit Dibur any day. It's a tool to elevate you spiritually. His stress will be on stop saying Lashon Hara. But in order to do that, you have to learn the halakha. And you have to understand what is Lashon Hara and why it is evil speech to say certain things that we do each day. Each and every one of us are saying Lashon Hara, and we're not even realizing it. So he wants to elevate our consciousness to realize when we're saying Lashon Hara, and then we can choose to stop it. He is recommending to say the Tikkun Halali. We are to say this daily. This can be found on my website. He's also recommending to say the Perek Shira, which is on my website. The Perek Shira is a midrash that explains that every entity the sun, the moon, the stars, the animals, the plants, the rocks, the planets. Each of these entities are singing praises to Hashem. And those praises come from the Psalms. And there's a relationship between the animal or the entity singing and the psalm verse that they sing. And the Midrash, this Perek Shirah, gives these explanations. This is also available on my website. There will be additional spiritual actions to be added, and I will announce them in the various classes that I teach. All of these actions are tikkunim, they're not teshuvah. And this is not the place to explain the difference, but over the 40 days, you will come to understand the difference very clearly. The tikkunim, these 45 days, from today until Tu B'Av, is preparations for the second period, the period of Teshuvah. Most items are available on the Yeshem website. There are a few items that are on this handout, but to scroll down will take a lot of time, and we're running out of time, and I hope you don't mind, but our class tonight will go about 15 minutes longer than normal. One of the things to understand about the Chodesh Tammuz, the month of Tammuz, is the way it is spelled. Tam Vav Zion. And there is a connection. The letters of the month of Tammuz is the Taf, the last letter in the Hebrew alphabet, and the Het. The Het creates the astrological sign of Cancer, of Sartan. And there is a definite relationship between the month of Tammuz and the physical disease called cancer. The Kabbalists explain that if you go to a doctor, and we all have known people who have gone to doctors and been diagnosed with cancer, the disease, or the month, the astrological sign of cancer. The doctor, if you ask the doctor, when did this start, they can't tell you. Because some tumors take days to grow and some tumors take years and decades to grow. But the Kabbalists tell us very clearly the cause of the disease of cancer is lack of joy in the month of Tammuz. The letter Het is formed from a Vav on the right hand and a Zion on the left hand and a little carrot top that unites them into the letter Het. The letter Vav is the letter that is created the constellation associated with the month of Iyar. Vav created the constellation Shor. And the Zion created the constellation Teumim, the twins, from Sivan. The word Tam means to complete, to become complete. During the month of Tammuz, you have the opportunity to create the Het, to complete the Vav, from the month of Shor, which is the month of healing and the month of second chances. And you, with the month of the Teumim, the twins representing humanity on one hand and Hashem on the other, These are the twins, the mirror images of each other. And remember, we just discussed being able to see reality, not what you expect the reality to be, but what is the true reality. It's the completion of the Vav with the Zion by building that little carrot top house that unites the two letters. Now it's time to go to our normal Rosh Chodesh process of saying the Ana B'Koach. We will stop at the seventh verse, the last verse, where we will connect to the letters of the month, the letter Tav that created the planet Lavana, which is the moon, which is the level of Malchut, of manifestation. This is the power of the month of Tammuz. It's the strengthening of the children of Israel, wherever you may find them. And the Chet that we build by completing and building the Chet out of the Vav and the Zion by completing the previous spiritual work from the month of Taurus, the month of Iyar, the month of healing and second chances, with the gift of the Torah through our Torah study. As Rabbi Anava is doing, he's asking his people to make a commitment, a very strong and difficult commitment. The basic point is to do more than you did yesterday, to do more spiritual actions. Pick one of these things that I mentioned, do all of these things that I mentioned. We have the time, if we would only focus on helping other people with our tikkunim. People ask, how can you do a tikkun for someone else? And the answer is you cannot. But here is a mashal, a metaphor, a story to help you understand what these tikkunim are about. We've all had the experience, unfortunately, where someone in the room became ill and heaved. And someone took them from the room to the bathroom to clean them up. But we were left in the room with the mess, with the dirt. We have to clean that mess up before we can use the room properly. You can't pray in a room with a mess like that. You can't live in a room with a mess like that. You have to clean it up. This is doing tikkunim. You're cleaning up the mistakes of your previous life, and sometimes you're cleaning up the messes of others, the mistakes of others. It's not doing their tikkun, it's cleaning the mess. Please join me in saying the Ana B'Koach. Ana B'Koach, Gedulat Shemincha, Tatir Tzerura, Aleph Bet Gimel. Yutah Tzadi. These six letters have a gematria of 506. And this gematria is the same as the phrase Ahavatinam, unconditional love. It's also the same gematria of the name of God, the attribute of God, Bav Shin Resh, which relates to memories, but not your normal physical memories. These are memories of what you did in previous lifetimes. These are memories that are helping you understand the messes that you clean up. This first verse connects to the essence of chesed, of loving kindness. Kabel rinat amcha sagvenu tacharenu nora. Kufrei Shayan, Sintet Nun. These six letters spell the words kra, satan. In Hebrew, kra means to tear up. And satan is the negative force that blocks us, that we have to overcome in order to have free will, in order to give us free will. We can rearrange those letters to spell Sha'ar Katan. It sounds similar, but it actually means small gates, and it's a reminder to us to guard our gates, the eyes of sight, the ears of hearing, the nostrils of scent, and the mouth of speaking, or eating, or both. These seven holes in our head are tools that if we guard them, we keep the negative system from entering into us internally. If we don't guard them, the gematria of the six letters is 729. And coincidentally, this is the power of three raised to the sixth power. Three times three times three times three times three times three. This is the tree of life, the three columns of the tree of life, in all of the six directions. North, south, east, west, up, down. Nagibor Dorshe Yehudcha Kevava Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin. The first three letters, Nun Gimel Dalet, have a gematria of 57, which is the Hebrew word zan. Zan is the Hebrew word that means sustenance. Sustenance is the fulfillment of all your desires. Yud Kaf Shin is a healing sequence, and especially during the month of Tammuz, it helps us take any part of our body that might be ill, take it out of the body, where we can cleanse it, we can rejuvenate it, we can understand how it fits in the body and its relationship to the other parts of the body. And then we can return that part, that really rejuvenated body part, back into the body where it will again do its job as it was meant to do, as it was created to do. The gematria of the six letters, or the third verse of the Yana Bekoach, is 387. And there's a phrase, actually a simple part of the verse, in Exodus, in the Esser Dibrot. It's Exodus chapter 20, verse 13. The phrase is, thou shalt not murder. Some people say kill. But these words of the gematria of 387. This is a way to understand why Lashon Hara is such a horrible negative action, because it kills three people, according to our sages. It kills the one saying the Lashon Hara. It kills the one hearing the Lashon Hara. And it kills the one who's not even present. What the Lashon is, the person that is being spoken about. The fourth verse that connects to Netzach. Barchem tacharem, rachame sidkatcha, tamid gamlem, betet resh, tzaditach kimmel. Meditation for this verse is to connect with the attribute of Netzach, its internal essence of eternal victory. The gematria of the six letters is 704, which coincidentally, and you know I don't mean coincidentally, the verse in Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 15, has the shoresh for the word mercy with the same gematria of 704. Eternal victory can only be achieved through mercy. It's never about overpowering the other person or the other nation or the other political party. It's about bringing mercy, which is justice. Not judgment, but justice into your actions. The fifth verse is Hod. Tasin kadosh berov tuvka nael adata et kufbet et nunayan. The idea of Hod, the internal essence of Hod, is appreciation and thankfulness. The gematria of the six letters is 239. This is the Hebrew word goral. Goral is a tool that lets you make decisions, that you can use to make those really significant decisions in your life. Another word with this gematria is going in the direction of blessing. Appreciation, thankfulness, the tool of decision making, is connected to this fifth verse. The sixth verse, Yesod. Yachid ge'e lamcha p'nei zochrei kidushata. Yud gimel lamed is ayin kuf. This sequence connects to Yesod, which has the meaning and the inner essence of creativity, creation, sexuality. Its gematria of the six letters is 230, which is the gematria of the Hebrew word miketz. The translation of miketz is from an end. The Sod is the essence of the flow of Shefa. It's the flow of your prayers back up to Hashem. It's the flow of everything that comes from the upper worlds to the physical world, and every action being reported from the physical world to the upper worlds. Another word that has the gematria of 230 is and in a blessing, or and with a blessing. The seventh verse, Malchut. Shavatenu kabel ushma siakatenu yodea alumo. Shinkufal tadiyuta. The first two letters have a gematria of 400, which is the four worlds, times the 10 sephirot within 10 sephirot. 10 times 10 times 4 is 400. The last four letters connect to the phrase Ahavatinam, unconditional love, the gematria of the first verse, 506. The memories, as well as the love for no reason. We learn from these connections is that the path to completion, the path to perfection, is to inject unconditional love in every step in our process, our actions, our lives. The gematria of these letters is 906, which translates as "and sing." Resh Shin Tav Vav. And this is the seventh verse of the Anabakoa. This is the connection we make to control the month of Atamuz, to complete the Vav with the Zion. The letters of the month, the Tav, that created the planet Lavana, the planet we call the moon, to strengthen the children of Israel. And the Chet, composed of the Vav and the Zion and the little carrot house. And the permutation of the Hashem's name is the reverse order. And the reverse order is He, Vav, He, Yud. He, Wah, He, Yo, He, Wah, He, Yo, He, Wah, He, Yo, He, Wah, He, Yo, He, stand up and dance around. Bring your joy to Tammuz. Hey, wah, hey, yo. 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 See the Tav. See the foot going out to the left. The end of the alphabet is the beginning of the alphabet. One frame of reference becomes another. Hey, wah, hey, yo. Hey, wah, hey, yo. Het. Het. Hey, wah, hey, yo. Tav, het. Hey, wah, hey. Bring your joy today. Bring your joy today. Each day. Hey, wah, hey, yo. 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 And the eighth verse of the Anima Koha, we say in a whisper. This is the end of our class. Are there any questions? While you're unmuting yourselves, I will be talking about classes tomorrow. Tomorrow is Tuesday, so our 11 o'clock class continues our study of the book of Joshua at 11 o'clock. At 4:30, we continue our study of the Deeper Zohar. And at 7 p.m., we will connect to the writings of the Ari. All these classes, all the times I've mentioned, are West Coast time, so please make your adjustments to your own time zone. Are there any questions?
No.
Have a beautiful lotus toes, and please complete the Vatan of Zion. Please be joyful this month. It avoids that dreadful disease. Be happy this month. That's all it takes. But try and do a little more. We have to sweeten the judgment. Kodesh Tov. Shalom Gadol.
Kodesh Tov.
Have a beautiful month.
Kodesh Tov.
Shalom.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you.
Thank you.